It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
And we actually have a guest in our studio, which we're going to get to here in a sec, but we do have to thank Jimmy Blair and Pinnacle Racing for all the support for Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach.
Yes, and we got Spring Fling coming up.
Yes.
Yes, I'm excited.
And the thing is, whether it be at Spring Fling or any of the upcoming events, because Jimmy Blair tends to make it basically everywhere.
Yes.
Talk with Jimmy. He can take care of your boot needs. He can take care of your apparel needs. He can take care of your wheel needs. Basically, whatever you need to skate, you want to skate with the best on you, talk with Jimmy Blair and Pinnacle Racing. They're found at pinnacleracing.com. And we are so proud to have them supporting Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. And like I was saying, Coach, we actually have a guest in the studio with us today.
We do. We have Christian Kiesler coming up. We're going to find out how he's doing after his bad crash down in Florida.
Christian Kiesler, who is in the studio. I haven't seen any road rash, but Christian is next on Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach is proudly presented by Pinnacle Racing. Now is the perfect time to get into a new boot from Pinnacle Racing. I've been skating and racing on Pinnacle since 2008, and for me, there is no other choice. From the fit, the durability, the performance, the customer service, nothing beats a Pinnacle. Pinnacle boots are what's on the feet of our country's top skaters, and they can be on your feet too. So here's what you want to do. Check out pinnacleracing.com. Reach out to Jimmy Blair. You can see all the options available from stock to custom. Jimmy can even send you a casting kit, or better yet, you look for Jimmy at a race or a skate meet. And trust me, he's a plenty of those. He's going to give you and your feet the attention you deserve. Plus, Jimmy is doing some incredible things with the look of the skates. He did Transformers-themed skates for me, and the possibilities are limitless for what he can do for you. I'm talking totally personalized skates. Once you're at pinnacleracing.com and you see what he can do, I'm telling you, you're going to start drooling, okay? I already have like 5 ideas for what I want to do next. The equipment truly is important in skating. Get yourself the best. Inline boots, quad boots, cycling shoes, you name it, Jimmy Blair and Pinnacle Racing. PinnacleRacing.com. It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
And we can't stress this enough, what you want to do as you're looking for our podcasts, and they're pretty easy to find. You can just go to Podomatic, and you can subscribe there. You can subscribe through iTunes, any way that you access podcasts. But make sure you subscribe. You'll get email notifications saying when there's a new episode, and that way you have access to all of our old episodes as well.
Absolutely. And we have a lot of really good stuff in the archives from back in the day with some of the pro skaters like Chad Hederick, which was a really good interview. We got all the world team coaches, it seems like, in recent years we've had on, as well as a lot of world team members and your everyday average coaches and skaters and officials. So make sure you get on there and listen to some of the old podcasts and learn a little bit.
And what you want to do is you can go to our Podomatic page. It's podomatic.com, and you can search Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. We're going to pop right up. Of course, we're on Facebook at Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach as well. You can always listen to the shows there, but we really do encourage you to subscribe on our Podomatic page and then get the notification. Subscribe on iTunes as well.
Absolutely. And next, we have Christian with us right here, and he actually is a fan of our show as well because he listens to every podcast as they come out. He signed on, became a member, and now he gets the notification as soon as it comes up on his email. It lets me know there's a new episode.
And that's what we were saying, Christian, is that if you are going to be a guest, like come into the studio, you better listen to the show. There's going to be a quiz later, okay? So I got to ask this because there's a lot to talk about with Christian.
Yes.
And I know that you were in Florida last week. It was an awesome event. Skaters from all over the world were there. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at Facebook, and my wife actually was looking at Facebook as well. Yeah. And she's like, hey, was Christian in a wreck? And I look, I'm like, yeah, it looks like he was, because people were talking hospital, but they say you were okay. So talk us through what happened.
Oh, it was a nightmare come true almost. I mean, really, I went from going fast behind one of the best sprinters, Dustin Hepson. I'm like, whoo, you know, we're going fast here. Let's see how this is going to finish out on the one lapper. And next later, we're going through the corner. He's falling. I'm going right over, and you know, there goes my butt cheeks, gone, just
yeah,
upsetting.
What happens in Florida stays in Florida, including your butt cheeks.
That's horrible. Oh, my gosh. And yeah. Then so it's like, hey, I tore myself up, and now I get to go sit in a car and sit in an airplane. Yeah,
I'm
that's
just
not pleasant.
Mad that I wasn't there.
So you laugh?
If I was there and he come rolling up, because he got up and he did finish his lap and he came over and seen his coach and they assessed the situation. If I were there, I would have said, Because I ripped my pants.
There you go. Yes, yes. So was Dustin involved in the wreck as well
then?
Yes,
he was.
Okay, is he
poor
okay?
Guy. Yeah, it looked like he got a lot of his left side, you know, a good arm, shoulder.
Calf.
But, well, a little calf too, yeah. But,
I mean, what happened? Just hit something
on
the pavement there?
I guess he caught his toe on a cross, but... It was just such a freak accident. I mean, who really knows? I mean,
yeah.
And then you're right behind, so
I'm just
there
right
you go
there
as
in
well.
The action. I'm like, oh man, like how do I get over this guy? We're so close.
What was
close,
going on was
so
he was
fast.
So tight in that draft. Dustin was just sucking him like a vortex. He was pulling him around the track, and Christian was setting up for the slingshot, but he was too close. So when Dustin went down, he had nowhere to go except for right over the top of him.
Now, were you and Dustin running first and second at that point?
No, we were running. I think. We were right here with Jared, neck and neck with Jared, and so it was kind of like a good battle for
third and fourth.
I think first and sec we're already out.
Okay,
but we were battling off for third, and then Jared got a good outside, and I was gonna, you know, maybe set up for the inside, and then it just seemed like all luck went out as soon as, you know, Dustin went down and I had to go over him, and
yeah.
You know, clean sweep for Jared, pretty much.
Yeah,
yeah. If you avoid the wreck, you're going to be okay at that point then.
Yeah, right.
For sure.
So how was it in Florida? We know that was the inaugural last weekend. What was it like? What was your experiences?
You know, like the competition actually went really well, like as in for the first time for that event. I thought it went really actually well. It's the, you know, that first day of practice, they had a whole day of practicing for everybody. And you can literally go in and, hey, put your skates on, you know, practice. And so, you know, me and the gang, all in the Michigan guys, we, you know, we all had a good hour and a half session. And it was just us and just a few other people. And so we had a good warm-up time on the track. Got to feel the corners and stuff.
Yeah.
And then come competition time, you know, it ran fairly really smooth. You know, getting guys on the track, getting the other guys on the track, you know, warm up time was fairly pretty decent. It wasn't okay, go warm up and then go sit down for now.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I despise that.
Yeah.
On the record, I despise that.
Yeah, that's just the worst. So, you know, it really went really smooth, you know, and the big guy, the pro elite men and the junior elite guys, we all got five distances to race indoors.
Wow.
So that was way more than what I expected.
Yeah.
And so, which was great. And there was a one lapper, you know, 500, you know.
The 10.
10, a 20 lapper, 100 lapper, you name it.
They did a 10K, which was really cool indoors.
Wow.
And they had preams for it.
Did they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they rang the bell. The next time you come around on that preem lap, whoever's in first would get $5, $10, $15, whatever happened to be the number for that preem. I think Christian ended up getting like $20.
I think I scraped up like $20.
Oh, that's
nice. Yeah.
Now, I knew they did the hundreds, and we'll talk about that here in a sec.
Right.
But, you know, so I knew they were doing the hundreds, but I didn't realize they were putting the premium laps in.
Yeah, they put preem laps
that's
in.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
I mean, this really does sound like an awesome event. And we've been talking about this leading up to it, and we knew it was going to be an awesome event. But hearing your experiences just days after the fact, you know, wreck notwithstanding, I mean, that's going to happen pretty much no matter where you go.
Yeah.
But the fact that it was such a good time and the competition was good, this is something we really just need to continue to build on.
Yeah.
Yeah, very true.
And I
true,
think
very
that
true.
It seems like the numbers weren't like, I don't think they were small, but it wasn't large. It wasn't like a big, big meet. It was just like an average kind of numbers for meet.
Right.
But it looked like the quality, based off of what I watched on Facebook Live from all the people, thank you ever so much for everybody that went live down there. But all the races seemed like they were national quality, I guess.
Yeah,
you know?
It was
best of the best throughout the nation that were there. And in fact, I think it was the top three juvenile girls that were all down there.
Wow,
No, it was.
So nationals 1, 2, and 3 on the podium were all down in Florida at this one meet. So it was like a nationals reunion for the juvenile girls.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. They got some really good racing in. The pro men, I mean, you got 5 world team members that were in there. Now, they didn't have heats in the senior men, but they had 5 world team members that were in that. So any of the other guys, I mean, Gene was in it. And what was some of the other guys? There was a couple other guys.
There was one more guy.
I don't remember his name.
He's from England. It's like I know his name. It's running through my tongue. I can't think of it.
Yeah.
Though.
But Gene, you know, Gene's down there. He's a senior man, but he skates the pro elite and stuff like that. And good competition for him. I mean, he was giving it his all, and what a great opportunity to be able to step on the floor with 5 world team members at the same time mean, you just don't see that at league meets very often. So,
and I think what's going to happen is knowing that as this event continues to build, people are going to say, hey, this is the event that I need to be at.
Yeah.
And like we had talked about when we were talking about this event and also promoting Spring Fling, is if you make them on those back-to-back weekends, you can keep your international skaters because come over here for a week and a half and you get both of these. Same thing. Is there any way that you can tie in, well, I'm going to go down to Florida, do that. Well, just a couple of days later, take your vacation, continue your vacation, go up to Atlanta, see Jimmy and skate Spring Fling and get two top-of-the-line quality invitationals.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Now, it didn't look like there was a whole lot of international competition indoors.
You know, they were there. They didn't skate world class, though, but they ended up skating.
Oh, okay, that's what it was. So they just skate a regular division.
They skate a regular division, which was probably the best for them because the indoor skills, you know.
The people that were here, they just weren't really good indoor skaters.
Yeah, and we've talked about that
practice.
A bit. Yeah, they don't really train necessarily for that. As someone, Christian, you go overseas a lot.
Oh,
you guys are outside all the time.
Oh, yeah. No place to skate indoors. Yeah. Almost nowhere, you know. Let's go to the gym floor, but that's... I don't even think that's skatable half the time, they say.
Yeah.
So I can see why it's like, yeah, we're probably better off skating division, but then you get outside and, you know, bets are off at that point.
Come to instance, when you watched them, none of them had indoor wheels on. They had NPCs, Black Magics, you know. You know, you could really tell that, their main focus
were... They thought they were going to a league meet in October.
Yes. The thing was that they still were over here and willing to do that. This isn't necessarily in our wheelhouse. Well, we're still learning indoor technique, but hey, why not? Let's go for it.
Well, Johanna had said this is supposed to be like a leapfrog. You know, this was the Orlando Classic was supposed to be like a leapfrog situation to getting possibly inline indoor skating into the Olympics. And that Furs was actually looking into that and creating a world competition right now for indoor skating. So I haven't heard anything back from Joe. We'll have to get Joe back on here
definitely
soon since the competition's over. We were supposed to get him back on. But the outdoors looked good. Looked like there was a lot more competitors, I think, as far as international outdoors than there was indoor.
Yeah, all the Brazils that skated indoors skated great outdoors.
Right.
You could really tell.
So what all countries are down there that you could think of?
It just looked like Brazil, and then I think a couple people from either Colombia or some South American.
Yeah.
So, but which were great. You know, it was great to see, you know, some the outsiders coming in and skating some outdoors, you know, with us, which is always great to see. And, you know, some of the indoors with them, too, is always great to
do. Not to jump to the end of the competition, but did you see the medals, for the Furs medals?
Oh, yeah, I did, yes.
Monster.
My goodness, they look like 45 records. I mean, they were huge.
They were bigger than Alicia's face, literally, on our team.
One of our younger skaters bigger than her face. Wow.
They were bigger than her face. Yes, they were.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're going to go in and do something like that, if I'm going to get a medal, this medal better be like supersized.
Right. Yeah,
and literally. It was.
Yeah.
It was huge. I mean, really.
Probably take the... take the ribbon off of it, drill a hole in it, and put a tire and put on your bike.
Yeah, exactly. That's my spare. I'm going to throw that in back if I need a spare tire. I got that. And so, Christian, how was the outdoor competition? Like, what kind of events did you run outdoors there?
Oh, so we ended up doing the 100-meter drag, which, you know, that's just my best event. I mean, really.
Yeah, well, you're known to be a sprinter, so.
Well, yeah. I mean, that event, I think I killed it. I blew it out of the water. No, you know, it was really good. I think we end up doing the 100-meter, 15,000, a one-lapper, which I totally wrecked that, and then the 10K points race, which I was unable to do from the...
Because that came after the wreck, right?
Yeah.
How did you do in the 1,500?
I ended up doing pretty well, actually.
Did you get third?
I got third. I got third. I had a weird strategy coming in. I think it was a little too windy for me, so I was trying to sit back and work off of Jared.
Well, your 1,500 strategy was way better than your one-lapper strategy.
Oh, yeah.
Because you at least stayed upright.
I think a finish is way better than a road rash slide.
Yeah. Well, I thought I was safe, so, you know, I thought the slide was just going to work, you know?
Yeah. There you go.
If anyone has pictures, please. We send them our way. Have you seen any pictures of him actually wrecking?
I have a picture of him actually in the hospital. Jay sent me a picture.
Oh, all right.
Of him laying on the bed. He was all morphined out, and it was before they were going to scrub him to get all the uniform and gravel and stuff out of the wound. But I won't share it because it's a little bit explicit.
So, I'm sure it is.
You know, it amazes me of our skaters, and Christian, obviously, and yourself. Most skaters aren't new to pain because we've all had floor burn. We've all gotten the bruises or broken something or another from falling, or road rash from the concrete or the gravel or the asphalt that you fall into. We've all been hurt. And it seems like even though you get hurt, there's never enough pain from an injury to keep people that love skating away from skating. It's like, you know, floor burn's not enough of an excuse for me not to skate.
Yeah.
And you don't see that in a lot of other sports. You know, a lot of other sports, they get hurt in their sport and they kind of back away from their sports, I think, and a lot of the other sports because they're afraid they're going to re-injure themselves. Where in our case, I think most of our athletes re-injure multiple times over the same injury.
Maybe that's the problem then. Yes, maybe we need to be like some of those other sports. But I can't, you know, the number of times that I know I've done this, and Christian, you have, and any skater listening, where you end up, you suffer a really bad fall.
Yeah.
Whether it be inside or outside.
Right.
But your tendency is, well, the workout's still continuing, so I've got to go up and keep going.
Right.
I mean, there was this one time, it was back in the fall, and I'm skating through some residential areas.
Yeah.
Totally wipe out. Going underneath with an undercarve, hit a rut, fall. Cars, of course, see this, and I'm sure we're laughing.
Oh, yeah.
And I end up rolling over and laying in some guy's driveway for a couple of minutes, but then I'm like, you know, the workout's not done yet.
That's right.
There's still more to do. I'm not quite finished.
Yeah.
So time to get back up. And again, every skater has been there to where, unless you're hospitalized, you know, odds are you're going to figure out some sort of way to get yourself back up to keep on going.
So take back to an old episode. We had, you know, Jim Larson on. Do you remember the story he tells us?
Oh,
they were skating around the pond.
Yeah.
And he fell down. And so there was some people walking their dogs. And he's getting ready to go up this hill. And he's not paying attention to what he's doing. So he pulls a bumhead move. He slips out, falls down. And these people are looking at him. So he doesn't want to feel like, you know, like a jerk or like a dummy, you know. So he gets up like, I meant to do that, you know, kind of attitude, as he skates off on him. And he, you know, he goes back to the car. He waits for his workout partner to catch back up because they were all on the other side of the pond that they were skating around. And they get, you know, so workout partner gets back. His workout partner says, where did you go? I seen you, and then all of a sudden you weren't there. You know, and he's like, I fell down. You know, so you got an accomplished skater like Jim.
All right.
And he just, bad step, you know, wasn't paying attention. And he just caught a bad edge or something and went down.
It's usually the silly stuff, too.
Especially outdoors, you know, you catch some little rut or
even a stone.
Little. Yeah.
Yeah, it's you hit a stone the wrong way, it can pitch you over. It's ridiculous.
Those asphalt snakes.
Oh, the worst.
Yeah.
The worst.
Now, I remember, and anyone who's listening from our area or even around the country knows Bob Harwell.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, who doesn't know Crazy Bob?
Right.
Bob is awesome. We were in Columbus, Ohio for a race.
Okay.
And it was warm, lots of tar snakes. And he's warming up and wrecks on the tar snake. And he was like, well, I just need to practice wrecking today, too.
Yeah.
You know, he just needed to practice wrecking, too, because he got right back up, played it off.
Yeah.
And, of course, as Bob always does, he rocked it out in the race.
Okay, so here's this quick story. This is a funny story about me, actually. So me and my older son, Christopher, were skating.
And
I got my quads on. You know, I'm outdoor skating on my quads, and he's on some inlines. And we're skating down the street, and it's a primary road, but it's kind of a secondary road here in town. And I had told him he needed to get up on the sidewalk because there was a lot of oncoming traffic, you know, and it's only two lanes, one going each direction. So he goes up. Well, I didn't have time to get in when the car started coming, so I was going to go in on the next little driveway that rolls up in. So as I'm skating along, and I'm hoofing it to try to get up the road and get off the road before this car gets to me, and my son's beside me running parallel to me. So as I'm going, I turn. Well, I'm going too fast. It's not like a two-lane wide, you know, pull-in. It's a single lane, and it's a narrow single lane. So I'm going too fast to make a quick left turn, then right turn onto the sidewalk. So I figured I would just come in and jump, right? From the driveway over to the sidewalk.
Okay.
So as I'm doing this, I'm huffing it. Well, Christopher's beside me, and I don't want to run into him. I want to make sure he knows that I'm going to be there, so he doesn't run into me. And I don't run into him. So I'm skating along, I'm huffing it, and I yell at him, I'm coming in, because I'm getting ready. I'm turning, I'm coming in, and so I hit the driveway. I jump. But I only made it about half the distance from there to the sidewalk. So as I land, the ground is like, it's not wet, but it's mushy.
Oh.
So the wheels just go poosh right into the ground, throws me over onto my face. So then, of course, the rest of the time we're skating, me and my son, Christopher's like, I'm coming in, every now and then he throws that out there. He has a good laugh mm-hmm. at it. But,
as soon as you said jump, this is not going to end well.
Yeah. No.
And Christian's over here dying, laughing. Yeah. You're grounded later, by the way, for laughing at Coach's story. But yes.
Pushing the crank button.
And the one thing I found, not to get totally sidetracked with wrecking, but as a guy, I found you typically tend to wreck when there are attractive women around. really, let's be honest. I had a buddy of mine. All right, this is back. We're on recreational skates, okay? And back in the day, and him and I, we were single guys at the time. So you're looking for, you want to be out, you want to impress the women, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So we would go up to this local college. They actually had some nice trails and roadways for us to skate. Inevitably, one of us would always wreck whenever there was a group of girls around. Never failed. No one's around. We're skating great.
That's why I don't bring my wife to practice. See.
Because you're trying to show off, and that's what happens, right?
That's exactly right.
Okay, so we got sidetracked on the whole wrecking thing, which I'm sure, regardless of gender, if it's someone you're trying to impress, what happens is you're going to be more prone to wreck when that happens.
That's right.
That's been my experience.
Chicks dig scars, so Christians should have them lined up.
He's got plenty then at that point.
His girlfriend's going to be
upset about that. Exactly.
She might kill me.
So we talk a lot, Christian, about international competition and prepping our skaters for the task ahead, which is getting themselves ready for Worlds and whatnot.
Right.
You've now had a whole bunch of international experience. How valuable is that to be able to do things like Orlando last weekend to get you ready for Worlds? How valuable are events like that?
They actually work really well for not just guiding yourself to how everybody else is doing in the U.S. to compare. It's actually helping you out big time because, not only am I training, by myself or with, Aaron if I get a chance or Zach Street, but I'm putting myself up with not only how good I am, but I'm actually skating against, our best. So I'm not only skating against the best that we have, but I'm also training at the best too, because you're also racing, you're racing to either win or you're racing for something, but you're also training with those guys too as you're racing them.
Mm-hmm.
So for competitions like those, it's always good to hit those, because if you're doing fairly well and you're either placing or you're keeping up with these guys, that means that you're on either a right track to you're going to make the team, or maybe maybe you're a little behind on your distance because when you're skating with the guys, you got a little tired come 20 to go, so it's actually a good gauge on what I need to work on coming up to Worlds. These events coming up, like the little indoor events, it's a good build up too for like a guy's engine, because it's really good to train by yourself, if it's something you're used to, you can always get good just by yourself, but once you hit those big events, it's gonna make you skate just as hard. Skating with those, skating with people that are just as fast as you or faster, you're going to work just as hard because you don't want to get dropped or you're in the zone, you want to win. And,
mm-hmm.
and so
yeah,
it's always good to have that person in front of you pushing you and chasing you. So that's what's good about these events, because like the U.S., I don't think there's one person that maybe can go out there and and maybe kill it. You know, you got it. You got a Tanner. You know, that guy's just, he's good.
He's real good.
He's really good. I think he could probably win, and I mean, a lot of races. I mean, but I think out of one, there's got to be a race or two that he's going to have a slip up here or maybe a catch there that he's going to happen at Worlds. So if he's working on it here with the big guys that we have, he's going to be a little more prepared for the Worlds. If he finds out that slip happens at Worlds, well, he's going to be a little more prepared now.
Yeah.
Because he caught this event. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, he caught the Atlanta and, you know, Spring Fling. You know, he caught those events.
Well, I think it goes right along with what Coach Jay had said. You know, when the World Team is selected at Outdoor Nationals, you know, and they would go to a residency, what they would often do is have the alternates that did not make the team. They were, you know, they were alternates if they possibly could go, but they didn't make the team. They allowed the alternates to come and train with the actual World Team members that were actually on the team. And that extra training, you know, with all the World Team members together, when you, again, you put six senior men or eight senior men that are all World Team members, or the top eight, you take the junior men, the six junior men, and their times aren't much different. And wow. In fact, some cases they're faster. So, but you take the six junior men, you take the six senior men, you got 12 guys now that are all top, they're the top guys in the nation, and they're all training together. And then that's why when Worlds is held at the end of the season, you know, when it's like November, they're going to Worlds, these guys are coming into league meets running super hard because they trained all the way up to Worlds.
Oh, yeah.
Where everybody else that went through Indoor Nationals, and then they, well, you know, I'm going to spend the rest of the summer relaxing or doing this, going boating and fishing.
2 months off.
Yeah. And then by the time they come back, well, these guys have been training, and they've been training with each other. So the level of training is always, but like you said, even when they train, it's almost like a competition. I guarantee you, if Christian goes down with Jarrett Paul and Harry Vogel, let's say down in Florida, he does some training, or he goes with Tanner, or he goes with Dustin or Herbie or wherever, he goes with any other guy that's a current World Team member, that World Team member will train harder than what they would if they were training by themselves, because they want to impress Christian and show him how tough they are. And it's not something you do like, oh, I'm going to do this. I think it's a subconsciously we do that.
Oh, yeah.
That's why when, you know, even at practice, when another team comes down and trains with us, everybody seems to, you know, hey, we're going to pace. These are going to be like 75%. They're going like 110% of their normal speed.
Without even realizing it.
And they don't even realize it. But they're doing it because there's somebody new there and they want to impress them. And they just, like, train a little bit harder. And they compete a little bit stronger. That's why all these big invitationals are so important. Mm-hmm. League meets are great for building the sport. And I still think all of our World Team members, and I think all of our national champions and stuff, they should all be going to these league meets, because it's a great resource for all the incoming kids to still see that talent competing. And then, you know, like Christian at league meets, he'll walk around and shake the kids' hands. He talks to them. He signs stuff for them, takes pictures with them. And then he goes out and races, and they root him on. And then when it's his time, you know, that's not training for him. That's just giving back to the sport and giving back to the kids. But when it's his time to train, that's when he's going to Geisingen. That's when he's going over to Gus Gueros or going to Trois Pys and doing that, or going to Belgium and doing the Flanders Grand Prix, you know. And now, you know, the Spring Fling's a great tune-up as well for Outdoor Nationals, because you got indoor and outdoor. And there's some good, again, there's always World Team members that are there. And there's the guys you just don't see all the time that are super strong. But you don't see them because they don't want to do Worlds maybe, or they don't do indoor. All they do is outdoor. So you only see them every now and then. Those guys are super strong. They show up. Now this competition in Florida. We don't have very many big invitationals where they do indoor-outdoor. You know, there's just not a lot of big competitions like that. No. So we really need to make sure we're supporting them. I mean, I really feel like we need to support them.
Oh, yeah.
So
do what you can to get to them. And I know it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. We're not made of money. We're all working very hard to be able to do what events we can get to.
Right.
But if there's any way to, you know, partner up, I know as you guys are getting set to head to the Spring Fling, it's carloads of people. I'm sure it's, hey, we're going to share the hotels.
Yeah.
Do whatever you can to buddy up to maybe cut some of that cost down.
Right. I got three skaters in my van that all their parents are sending them with me so that they can go down. You know, it's saving their parents the money of hotel, food, travel, all that, and they're all piling in with me and going down.
And I'm sure the parents would love to go, but...
I think they just want the time away from their
kids.
Well,
some of that, too. Yes, there's kind of the combination. Well, now with Facebook Live, it's like, well, I don't need to be there. I get away from my kid, but I can still watch their race.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, the kids are still able to go. The athletes are still able to go, but you're cutting down from having to figure out a way for mom and dad to also get down there as well by partnering up and whatnot. So the more you can do of that, the better to get to these events.
There's always a cheaper way you can get somewhere. It's just a matter of how much are you willing to sacrifice and how much are you willing to give to get it.
How much are you willing to sleep in your car? Right. That really is the question. There was one time I was in Montreal and we were done with the event. I was getting ready to drive back. And and so a guy out there was like, well, where are you staying? And I just tapped the roof of my car. I'm like, this is it. I'll just pull over and take naps until I'm home.
Yeah.
And it saved me, because money was really tight back then.
That's $75.
I think I wrote a bad check to get into the event. I'm just saying. Yeah. So it's like if I have a way to maybe hold off on that hotel as much as it's, and I'm not recommending that for everyone. I'm saying it was in Canada.
It's different times, too.
I feel a lot better pulling off the side of the road at a nice rest stop in Canada.
Okay.
I feel pretty safe up there.
Sure.
You know, versus some of the sketchy ones that I've stopped at in the States.
Okay. So how long are, because I know you're not skating right now. I know that you're on a work release and whatnot. So how long are you off your skates?
I feel like I should at least be back after this week. The doctor said I could ride at that point, nothing so advanced. But if I could ride, let's just face it, you could pretty much skate then at that point.
Right. I think it's more about he just doesn't want you to fall down on your bum
again. That's a big thing.
Because, that's what's
going to
happen
skate.
If you fall. Typically, that's where you're going to end up hitting.
Right there, the same spot.
That's going to hurt.
Yeah, he said, unfortunately, I probably couldn't skate this weekend, which is sad because I love spring fling. You know, that floor it's always grippy. Mm-hmm. And the competition's always stiff, And so, I was really kind of sad when he told me that, but... we have a league meet coming up here in 2 weeks. I'll probably put my skates on then. Maybe if it's healed up, maybe I'll just sit in the back and cheer.
Well, you're still going to Spring Fling, though.
I'm still going.
They're
still
go
going
to support the meet and
I'm going to support,
cheer people on and coach and stuff
like
that.
Oh,
will
do.
So, Christian will still be there.
Yes.
If you see him, don't give him the pat on the butt, though.
No.
I would really... You may do that in the NFL. Don't do that here.
Knuckle bump, no thigh slap.
Exactly. Yeah. I know that's our normal greeting, too. And it's really awkward, I tell you.
Wow.
Maybe the left cheek.
That's something right there.
So, Christian, I want to ask you this. This is something that with you now working, and you work an insane schedule, what's the balancing act like? I mean, you go from practice, and then you go work all night.
Yeah.
But yet there's been really no drop-off in your athletic performance. How are you managing that?
I think it's a miracle somewhere in here. Because I get a really good training schedule from Jay, and I get a great workout from Coach. And I have, a lot of supporters always talking to me through Facebook. And it's so awkward because it's whenever I'm not really tired or I can just bear a 30-minute ride or a 30-minute slide board, I just do it. Jay has some plyometrics, he'll have me doing, and you look at it and you're like, will I be able to fit everything in this time I have? And so, there's a few things I've missed, and looking over at, some old training logs, I missed a few things, from a couple years back, but I'm not looking too bad from where I'm at. So I think that I'm going to catch back up on those, maybe tune out some stuff I'm doing now and, get back into some old stuff I was doing to get me back on more of a better track. But, I feel great, the sleeping schedule, like you said, it's terrible.
Yeah, so what'll happen is he'll come home, and he'll be awake. And you know how sometimes you get off of work, you go home, you're awake, you just can't get to bed. Well, he can't get to bed, so he'll go and get on his bike if it's a nice day, or get on his skates. He'll go skate or he'll go to the gym and get a workout. Then he'll come home, shower up, go to bed, and then I'll get home and I'll say, "Dang, that lazy kid's still sleeping. He's still in bed." Well, yeah, but I don't think he got to bed till like 10 o'clock, you know, so he'll stay up all night and then train early in the morning and sleep until almost time to go to work. Or the next day he may get off work dead tired. He comes home, he goes to sleep, crashes out, gets up, and then he gets his workout in the evening.
I think one time, it was a Wednesday, I did a 30-minute spin before a practice.
Mm-hmm.
I think I took a good 5-minute power nap right on the couch, and I think Dad, you know, coming across, scraped my foot like, hey, it's time to head out. Like, oh, it's practice already? Oh, man, like... What happened to the hours?
Man, that the fact that you're still able to maintain as much as you have been able to continue to excel like you do with that schedule is crazy.
It's you know, we all have a dream in this sport, and now, you know, even if you throw some stuff at me, you know, I think it's still something to push forward to, dream, and so, you know, if you have a dream, you know, keep on pushing for it. It doesn't matter what occurs in your life, you know?
So all the people out there that maybe don't have your phone number, they don't necessarily talk and contact you, I've gotten a whole bunch of get well messages through text messages and voice messages and emails and then just off of Facebook and stuff. And I've seen all the posts, you know, and truly across the nation, you know, we are one big, large family. I mean, people from east to west, north to south have been sending their prayers for Christian, and you know, I've seen not just Christian but Dustin as well, because he's got wadded up down there as well. So what do you want to say to those people that are out there, because I know that there's a lot of people and it's hard sometimes to get everybody? So
I've hit a couple of thank yous out there on Facebook, but really from, you know, when I, you know, first got in, and Dad, you know, talked Jay into get me to skate with him. Really, Jay's been one great coach. I mean, really, he's got me from the ground up. And with him hooking me up with HMSA and Bill Sumner, getting my name in a great business like that, those guys down there are just, I mean, they'll make you cry, really. They're that sweet, you know, and they're really that nice. And the big thanks to those guys, HMSA. Those guys been, I mean, the backbone to everywhere I've gone. I mean, really, the money, the tickets, the food. I mean, those guys been there, and, you know, just picking up Fran not too long ago, and Dave with Great Lakes Skate. He's helped me out big time too. Really, I mean, Fran's came through recently with Worlds, you know. There'd be a box of wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking two sets. We're, you know. So really, it's the big thanks goes out to those guys, because, I mean, we all love the fans. I mean, especially at the league meets, you know, you got to get them hyped up for the 100 meter. And, you know, they're always asking you good questions. And, you know, your fans are always going to be there to support. But to shell out money for this sport, you know, and it, you, we all know that, you know, it's kind of on a low point right now, and to get money for the sport is just really hard. So for those guys to, you know, shell out money like that, it's such a really, it's amazing, because you work a full-time job, you use your own money, you know, these guys, you know, help you the best they can, and they're working their full-time jobs too, and so it's, you know, just a lot of help, and it's
really
amazing.
The sport has
so
a lot
amazing.
Of good sponsors in it, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of sponsors really that do a lot of good stuff for. So would you like to say anything to the people out there that have sent you the get wells and the heal up fast and we miss you and stuff like that? You got anything you want to say to all those people?
Yeah, I would like to give a thank you out to all my Facebook fans out there that thanked me on the butt cheek, and hopefully the speedy recovery. Thank you so much. Thanks for, you know, Coach and Boomer for getting me on the show once again. You know, it's always been a fun time on here. You know, love you, Mom. Love you, Katie. You know, just really happy to, you know, be here to tell you guys, you know, whatever question comes up, you know. So, all right.
Well, it's always good when you're here, Christian. We're going to miss you at Spring Fling, but we'll see you skating. Well, we'll see you at Spring Fling. We'll miss you skating at Spring Fling, but we'll see you on your skates here very, very soon.
Yeah, yeah.
And good luck, everyone, competing this weekend. Talk with Jimmy P. Pinnacle Racing. I know you're in need of a new boot. Jimmy can take care of you at the Spring Fling this weekend. It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
Skate fast.
And turn left.